I just want to say there is a PowerPoint. If you can get that up for me, that's great. It's such an honor to be here. I think we've got many different timelines. Some say 20 years, some say 19, some say 17. I do know it's over 15 years since we were at the summer camp. That we've got down, but I'm not sure in between. And Gordon and I have done many things since. We've become Anglicans, moved to the greatest city, Oxford, and we have the incredible privilege of imparting that outstanding generation of your next politicians, CEOs of companies, your Supreme Court justices, the outstanding kids of the world come to Oxford, and we are unashamedly affecting them with the heavenly virus to totally wreck the devil's plan for our next generation. So we were in the city centre church called St Aldate's for 7 years, and then Gordon moved out, and he'll share his story, began to work missions amongst the Muslim people, unveiling Jesus to veiled people in our Western culture, breaking the intimidation of fear. And I have traveled the world with harvest fields for the days ahead. And then I have traveled the world with heart cry for change. I've got a wonderful girl called Helen, who's Egyptian, helps us. And we've got two great kids. You want to find more heart cry for change? But let's just click through for me. So this is David. Last time he was here, he was about 15 and he was blonde. Margaret Graham had peroxided him on the way here. He's now 32 years old, married to Jenny. And we've got Annabelle, Jeremy, and Margot in tummy to be born in November. So three little English grandchildren. Next slide, please. This is Nicola, our big girl. She's 35. She married Tim Douglas, an Aussie boy. She went to Hillsong Bible School in Sydney. And Brian Houston unashamedly made it a bridal school, got hold of Tim and said, get that girl, and if you don't, you're stupid. I met him in Portland, and I said, what is all this stuff written about no dating, etc.? He said, oh, no, that's just to make you pass a secure, then we take the best. And she's married the best. They moved to Melbourne about 7 years ago, and they have pioneered Hillsong Melbourne, and they now have 17 services on a Sunday, Greater West, West Campus, E57. And the campus pastor of City Church, she does 9/11/357. And they've got an awesome team. Do they do them all? No. But they have just trained, released, multiplied. And they have a church of, what, about 5,000 now, I reckon. I lose numbers. But isn't it great? And most of them will be first time. We have joined and helped 5 kids in Oxford, pioneering a Hillsong in Oxford. I've known Anna since she was 12. She married Craig, couldn't have kids, prayed for them, have a baby, Noah, prayed for them again, have baby Judah, and love them to pieces. We're not on the leadership team. We're mum and dad. I sit with Craig about every 6 weeks. We go through how to preach, and I just love getting behind the next generation and making them look good for Jesus. Isn't it an awesome privilege? And we've watched that church grow, what is it, about 600 now? In how many? It's 5 years in October. And we've baptized 58 of them in our hot tub. Come on, that's what a hot tub's for. But I really believe that this is a season of decree. Corrie, when you were singing, where are you? Somewhere here, that worship song. I'm anointed, I'm favored. Come on, we've got to break off all our nice Canadian downsizing, etc. No, I am anointed. I am favored. Not for me, but it's for the glory of God. We've got to break every limitation. And I really felt, even as Ian was speaking last night, that we need to be intentional with our conversations. He talked about cassettes. I'm so glad for iPhone. You've just got that little voice record memo. Be intentional. When a conversation begins to touch more than your mind, press record. Listen to it again and again. Be irritated by the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants you to craft your language very carefully this camp for advancement. It's very easy to use use our humour and use stuff to make people just feel low. Oh, yeah, you're just Miss Susie Susie. Yeah, you're la-di-da, etc. There's something in our culture that does down. You know what? The Bible always lifts us up. Humble yourself. I will lift you up and give great significance. I believe we need to reverse some of our language. We're so frightened of making people look good. But that's God's whole mandate. Come on, head up, shoulders back. And I just feel, come on, let's make this a toxic free zone. Let's make it a place where we look at people and we tell them, I see the glory of God on you. Amanda, last night, I felt God say, he loves you, sweetheart. He is, please stand with your precious husband. And if you got a phone, click it right now, then you'll have it. Come. Because then I don't have to remember. You got it? Press. Amanda and Luke, light. And God would just say to you that you, especially Amanda, have dug in deep. And there is a deep well that's hungry for more. And you have literally chased the Spirit of God down. You've chased relationships down at great expense, at great cost, at value. You know, when you've got time, you just cut different things. You've cut your cloth to always pursue the Jesus in you. And God would say that this is an upgrade time for you. And God would say that he's actually designated upon you a real skill for girls and women and those who are broken, marriages, mums with single kids. And God is going to upgrade a whole new intentional plan of strategy to get hold of them and build. You've done different things and it's gone up, down, back, left. And you thought, what is that? And God says, do not give up. God would say to you, now is not the time to give up, for I have crafted something in you, and you have birthed some kids, but there are so many more. And for you will be like Rachel saying, oh God, give me the children of my generation, give me more. And God says, I've made you like Hannah, that will actually birth prophets like Samuel, those that listen, tuned and acute, and will break through. And Luke, you are a light against darkness, and you've been in many places where darkness is overwhelmed. And God said, please stop being distracted and trying to analyze the darkness. Just turn the lights on. I named you to be a light bearer. I named you to be a carrier. And you have almost got so overwhelmed. Is it this? Is it that? And God says, no, look up and behold your God. For I will indeed open up heaven for you. And you have been in a place of constraint. And even what I'm going to preach today, God says it's time to take the roof off. Do not limit God. Think big, or you're going to limit actually what could flow through you. And God joins you together. And there's been much in your life that separated you, ministry-wise, marriage-wise. But you are a pincer movement. You are strength and tenderness, weakness and dynamism, heaven and earth. There is a great strength in you. Don't let religion, religious spirits, church structures, other things separate you. Forge together for the purpose of God. Because there's a breakthrough farrier's anointing, that yoke on you to break through. And you will mark a way for the next generation, says the Lord your God. Be blessed and let it be according to your word. Amen. And we bless you, Amanda. So what am I going to preach? Any guesses? Well, I looked at the cover and it says unshakable. So we're going to talk about my unshakable friend. My unshakable friend. And I have certain rules when I preach, and that is you preach with me. And I also means you have to preach like you've had fully leaded treble espresso. In other words, none of this. So, first scripture, Psalm 62, verse 6. Let's declare it. You ready? One, two, three. He is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. Are you tucking in? Psalm 16, verse 8. Let's read it. One, two, three. I know. Say it again. I know. Just in case you don't know, one more time. I know the Lord is my mum says always is a big word. OK, Come on. So let's start from the beginning. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Come on. Feel it. Believe it. You see, he is unshakable. But the dilemma is this. We have to find him in a season of constant shaking. In the midst of all the shaking, can you see him? Can you see Jesus, the unshakable? Is that confidence solid, grounded? He is my friend. All around us, it's shaking. It's uncertainty. I've had many seasons in my life when I've been shaken to the core. But there's something, and I don't know why, but there's a little girl in me. I'm 59 years old. I have 2 kids, 6 grandkids, but I never grew up. I have this simple understanding, Jesus is my friend. Even when people are mean to me, quite rude to me, downsize me, I always feel that sweet hand of Jesus in my back saying, I like you, it's okay, let's go. And I've learned not to get offended, not to get overwhelmed. And people can be mean, church can be mean, leaders can be mean. But yay, Jesus is my friend. And I often feel him sneak up on me. He says, just duck and dive, Rachel. You know how to do that. Have fun. One of the most dangerous things is to become a wounded person. Even more dangerous, a wounded leader. I've laid in my bed in 1984 when I was run over by a 7-ton army truck. I broke every bone from my hips to my toes. I was run over by a 7-ton army truck where we had only just arrived 6 weeks to serve Reinhard Bonnke. Sold everything we had, be missionaries, and then we're nearly killed. The fat tissue from my bones got into my brain stem. Gordon was told, get ready for a funeral, and if not a funeral, a vegetable, because your wife will never be normal. Now, you most probably will have your reservations, but I have a certificate because I woke up on October the 27th, 1984, from a deep coma that should have killed me, and they did all the tests, and they have declared me and certified me totally brain normal. So before you say I'm mad, show me your certificate. I'm normal. You see, I lay in that coma, shaking. And apparently the one thing I did was shaking my head. I bit through, was it 2 or 3 of the masks they put me? So fighting for my life. And the one thing I kept shouting was, Jesus, 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 my unshakable friend. And he saved me and he healed me. So you see, how many would say we're living in shaking times? How many would say everything, oh, we've lost my PowerPoint, is shaky, shaky? It's shaky, shaky. No, I need these pictures if they'll come. You see, yes, he is unshakable, but we have to grow up and realize everything else is supposed to shake. And you see, we like the concept of unshakable, secure, nothing changes. I'm sorry, church, get over it. This is going to be some of the greatest shaking times ever lived through. And we are meant to thrive. We're meant to surf on those waves of change. We're meant to escort the King of Glory who is unshakable. Because it's only when everything shakes that we get the incredible privilege to reveal what is unshakable. Last night, Ian touched on the whole thing of the chrysalis. And you see, A caterpillar goes on the earth. That's one dimension, normal, ordinary dimension. But we know we're meant to be transitioning to another dimension. We're meant to be the ordinary in the extraordinary. We're meant to be the natural in the supernatural. And so God takes us through times of constraints, times of limitation, times when we feel life is being squeezed out of us. And if people come and say, oh, Joel, it's really hard for you right now. Can I help you get out? Can I just pick you up? Actually, what I'm doing is the greatest disservice, because unless you wrestle and find your wings of faith to fly from ordinary to extraordinary, you will be contained for the rest of your life. And you see, we try to mollycoddle and say, oh, Jesus is good, he's sweet, he's kind, life will be perfect. Garbage, trash. No, you are going to learn to overcome, not be overwhelmed. You are going to learn to thrive, not just survive. You are going to walk in a wilderness and bring a different atmosphere. That is what we're born for. That is what we're born for. But we need to fight the good fight of faith. Gordon and I have been married 38 years and we have great fights. And I love to fight him. And I love to win. And I'm strong. But you see, it is fight. It literally means to wrestle, to pull down, to pull through. Now, come on, find some of your man hours. Cut out the gym. Do some spiritual upgrading. Do you get what I'm saying? You see, if we shortcut those seasons of wrestling, we miss so many God opportunities. So let me show you some pictures. Shaky, shaky times. You see, something began to shake, and the way just didn't look so secure. Next one, just click through them. Ooh, shaky, shaky. Is it okay, Vic? Are you okay? Look, why do some things stand and some things fall? Because we might look the prettiest on the outside. I'm fine, you're fine, we're all fine, we're all liars. Because actually the foundation's stinking. We've got to be people that work from the inside out. Not externally manipulated, but internally resourced. I have an unshakable friend, and his name is Jesus. And I might be crazy and I might get it wrong, but actually, because I'm standing on a rock whose name is Christ Jesus, the cornerstone of all things, he makes me look good. Hello? You see, Hebrews 12:27 puts it this way. 1, 2, 3. This means that all of creation will be shaken and, uh-oh. So what about some of our prayers? Oh, God, hold it together, hold it together. Shaky, shaky. Why? This means all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. So come on, put your hands in the air and say, okay, girl, let it shake. Let it shake. Let it shake. But we know we're standing on unshakable. What times of shaking? Should we talk politics? Look at Canada. You got Justin and Sophia Trudeau. You know, as soon as they came in, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't get distracted by their politics. Get distracted by their name. Justin means justice. Sophia means wisdom. And this is what the church should be upholding and praying for in this time. Do not become political, become spiritual. And I have given you the right names for Canada. And it's the church's responsibility to find the unshakable rock and lift up justice and wisdom. Come on, Canadians. Every Canadian, just stand for a moment. Now, come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, Father, we thank you for the unshakable rock that's Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you are justice and you are wisdom. And we look beyond our politics to a great God. And we declare for Canada today, it will be justice. It will be, come on, you can do better, treble express. It will be, justice. It will be, wisdom. It will be,
justice.
It will be,
wisdom.
In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. And then look at America. Trump. I want to ask, just to little confession, believe it or not, my parents are Texan. It's true. Don't it sound like I come from Texas? Y'all. No, my mom and dad have been in Texas since 1989. They're American citizens, bought their grave, they're never leaving. And converted American Texans are most probably the most American people you can find on earth. And my brother's American. My nephews and nieces are American. In fact, more of my family is US than UK. But I married, as you will find tonight, a British officer, a gentleman, and the best man in the world. Gordon and God will change your life forever. What about America? Now, come on, Americans. God said he's given you a wrecking ball. Why are you frightened if things shake? Let's grow up. A wrecking ball wrecks. A wrecking ball brings down. And we have prayed, God expose every institution. God expose every politics. God bring down to the ground everything that's of lack. Media coming down. The presidential office. The white revered protocols coming down. Everything that can be shaken has got a wrecking ball in the house of America. But there is one thing that cannot be shaken. And his name is? His name is? His name is? The prophets have spoken. Chuck Pierce in 2008 said, God has hidden a Trump card in the pack of America. He didn't even know what it meant. Go back and look. The prophets have decreed. Why are we then going, oh, Jesus? Shake it up, Lord. Hurry it up, Lord. Reveal what you will reveal. So let your kingdom come. Come on, Americans, stand up. Lift your hands to heaven and then begin to pray for the wrecking ball of God to finish its work so that Jesus can be revealed. So yeah, come on, just begin to say, Father, we trust you that you will let the wrecking ball go. You will shake everything that cannot, that can be shaken, but you will not shake what cannot be shaken. And we thank you right now. You will reveal Jesus. We are not afraid. Come on, let's say this. We are not afraid. We will not be intimidated. Only that which can be shaken will be shaken. And the unshakable will stand in America. Every word, every promise cannot go, cannot be shifted. In Jesus' name. Is that true? Amen. Politics, shaking. Climate change, shaking. I listened to a really sad program that they said if something doesn't happen dramatically, elephants will be extinct in my grandchildren's time. Go, ah. That's sad. All sorts of stuff. We've been called to steward, but things are shaking. What about social demographics? Woo! Used to be simple. When I was at college, I'm a clinical biochemist. My specialist is hormones, sex hormones. It was very easy. I taught on sexual reproduction. That was allowed. These days, we're not allowed to call it that because that is biased. So we have to call it sex education. Because only straight people can have sexual reproduction. Gay people can't. So that is prejudiced language. So now we teach sex ed. Not sex reproduction. Did you wonder why that subtle change? When I was studying biochemistry, XY, XX, it's all very simple. Not because I was a Christian, because I was a scientist. Now it's all on a spectrum. I feel like, ooh, I'm pink, maybe it's a girl. Maybe if I wear blue tonight, I feel like a boy. It's become crazy. Shaky, shaky, shaky. Everything that we thought was defined is now becoming redefined. We're all on spectrums and quantities and things. But come on, stamp your feet. There is a foundation that cannot be shaken. Come on, say it. There is a foundation that cannot be shaken. There is that cannot be shaken. So what is our privilege? We have the privilege to be the revealers of the unshakable in the times of shaking. We don't get escape clause. We live through the shaking and we reveal that which is unshakable. So my unshakable hope, I want to go to Mark chapter 2 and I want to finish this session with Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 is a story of the paralyzed man who's lying on a bed, dying, can't move. Jesus comes to town, but he can't get there. You know, that's like so much of our society. In this season of shaking, I have unashamedly come here to irritate you. My divine anointing is to get under your skin, to be one of those little critters that make you itch and scratch and change and move, because everything that's got sedentary paradigms shifted down, I pray by that wonderful name of Jesus, I can wake it up, stir it up, move that butt, move those legs, move that passion, move that creative thinking. In this season of shaking, we need a whole new urgency to help people discover Jesus, the unshakable friend. And sometimes we can find Jesus by ourselves. How many of you found Jesus by yourself? It was a totally individual journey. Put your hand up and wave it. Have a look round. It's not the altar call. Have a look. Put it right up. How many of you had someone help you find Jesus and you needed help? Will you have a look round? I reckon 5% did it themselves. 95% needed a friend. Uh-oh. Do you get what I'm saying? We stand in church, oh God, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in. And he's saying, get out, get your butt. They need a friend. So Mark chapter 2, let's read it. You got the idea. 1, 2, 3. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard, wow, Jesus has come home. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. You know, I believe we've been blindsided. I believe we've really swallowed the devil's lie that people don't want Jesus. My experience, they maybe are not super excited about church, but I'm finding more and more and more in Europe, in Britain, people are curious about Jesus. And when they hear Jesus is in the house, it's sort of like, can I come see? I don't introduce myself anymore as a Christian. Sorry if that offends you. I introduce myself as a Jesus person. And I just say, oh, I'm one of those Jesus people. When I'm in the coffee area and I go up to someone and say, I can see you're looking really distressed and upset. I'm afraid I'm one of those Jesus people. And I talk to God and he often gives me a message. And I just felt Jesus wanted you to know right now. I do it. I make sure I do it. How can I preach if I won't go tell? We need to get out of our nice little Christian paradigms. Sinners are meant to sin. It's when we get in the house, we should stop. We need to get over all the F-U's and S-H-I-T's and the thing and thing. Just get in with them. I tell you, one of the things I've loved most in Oxford is Our community has provoked people, students. We had two young students who were up 6:30 Sunday morning every day, ready to help our team bump in. That's not rude in England. It means you pick all the stuff. And someone said, is that something sexual? I said, no, it just means you pick up all the stuff and stick it up the front. And so they bring up all the Wi-Fi thing, and we make the Odeon cinema look like a house of Jesus to welcome them in. And these two young lads, incredible sportsmen that run everything, they were so attracted by Gordon and the guys who were doing this that they reconfigured their runtime Sunday mornings to come help, bump in the church, set it all up, and continue their run. Finally, after about, 4 months, 6 months? They said, can we come see what we're doing? Of course, come in. And we had a whole lot of people going, oh, shit, this, that, as they move all the equipment. Does it really matter when one day they come in and go, wow, God, and they come right through to Jesus and they ring? It's worth it. You see, God has brought you here to Capernaum. Do you know what Capernaum means? What does Capernaum mean? Where did Jesus move to after Nazareth? Do you know? Hope. Isn't that awesome? Because the other name for Capernaum was actually the village of Naaman. They were often used. And Naaman means the place or the house of? The house of? Isn't that awesome that Jesus made that his base for ministry? And right now at this camp, Jesus has brought you to a place of? And it's in this place of hope that Jesus begins to preach. And a magnetism goes out and hope is stirred. And people are pushing in because they want to hear. He is your unshakable hope. Say it with me. He is my unshakable hope. Next, unshakable determination. Come on, say it with me. Unshakable determination. Because it's not just enough to sit and just say, oh, be my hope. You see, these friends, let's read it, verse 3. And some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through the roof, and they lowered the mat the man was lying on. Come on, I want to ask you, what determination have you got to get your friends in the house of hope? One of the things that has so challenged me is we've been part of the church planting of Hillsong. I'm a preacher's kid, a missionary kid. I went to church before I was born. How many of you are like me? I grew up in India. I was gave my life to Jesus very sincerely at 4 years old. I was baptized in the Spirit when I was 10. I was baptized in the water when I was 11. At 17, I had a major encounter with God at a summer camp where I just stood up and say, I'm all in, God. Whatever it takes, I'm yours. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. I can't live satisfied if I don't live for you. At the age of 20, I met Gordon and we got married. At the age of 24, we sold everything and went to Africa and served Reinhard Bonnke. At the age of 30, we left everything and returned to the UK and began to pastor churches. All my life, I can designate times and seasons when I left. Then we came to Oxford again, 2005, left everything, reputation, all sorts of stuff. People say, what are they on? But I knew it was a call of God. And I planted myself in Oxford. We served that church and saw the incredible thing amongst those students for 1,600 kids for 7 years. I loved it. Gordon was outstanding. He reversed that church and became such a father in the city. It was extraordinary. Then God said, leave. And we go, oh. And then we got hold of Hillsong. And you know what? Being part of this church, you can look at Sunday and I hear all sorts of stuff. I challenge any of you, go work with the church planting team of Hillsong from a year, then talk to me. I thought I was fairly humble, willing. They challenge so much. It's reverse about you. Church is about them. This is the time for the one. It's reverse so much. I'm not satisfied unless people have come into the house of hope. A new determination has come upon me. We've got to get them to Jesus. I'll break the roof. You see, so many people, and maybe you're here today, you feel the crowd is so big that God can't find you. Maybe you feel so overwhelmed that you feel God's lost you and you've lost God. But God will always make a way for you. And we need to be part of the journey. And God and us walk together to help people find Jesus in the midst of a crowd. And we don't hold back. We become utterly determined to bring people to the house of hope. How do we do that? Well, I believe, LifeLinks, it's time to take the roof off. It's time to take the roof off. And you see, we build all sorts of structures. We have all sorts of nice places. Jesus comes home and we've got our confines, we've got our understandings, we've got our structures and walls, we've got the badged and privileged, and they've all got their places and they've got in the space. But you see, the house that we'd designed for Jesus was too small for him. The roof needed to come off the house of hope so that the people who needed the real encounters with Jesus to get to him. We had designed all sorts of limitations and structures and protocols that began to understand how the house of hope works. But God is into shaky, shaky. He takes the roof off, but he always keeps the foundation. God wants to shake your paradigms. He wants to shake your limitations. He wants to shake your understandings of how to do church. He wants to break the paralysis that's got you caught in the wrong place so that you can't reproduce effectively. Genesis 15 with Abraham. Remember, he couldn't reproduce, couldn't really see, couldn't. He knew he was carrying the seed within him, but he couldn't touch it, hold it, handle it. It was all potential, but nothing obtained. How many of you feel like that? And we've got to break the Abraham and become the Abraham. We've got to become fathers and mothers of nations, generations, cities, churches. We've got to reverse the curse of the enemy that's laughed at us and said, ha, 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 you're sterile. So how did that happen? God got hold of Abraham. Genesis 15, 5 and 6. What happened? 1, 2, 3. He took him outside. And God wants to take some of you outside. He wants to blow your roof off. You've got so used to this is the way. This is how we train leaders. This is the program. We need to tick this box. We need to do this course. We need to do this. We need to behave. We need to do that. I actually think God's going to mess so much with the whole of our world, but we're going to find outstanding young men, women on fire, passionate, reversing the curses of the devil and seeing a whole new wave, tidal wave of incredible kids that love Jesus. The average age needs to come down. I love our church. It's about 29. Last time I asked Craig, it's 29 years, 8 months. And they love me. And I'm 59. Come on, don't get all in a mess. And I love them. Jesus was how old? And the Father of all the universe trusted him to change the world. Come on! Let's grow up and let go. And Jesus took Abraham outside and said, "Look up to the sky and count the stars. For indeed, if you can count them, I'm going to mess with your head. I'm going to mess with all your accounting. I'm going to mess with your bank accounting. You're not going to be able to work out all the money for what you need to build. You're not going to be able to get everything in line and all your ducks in a row. I'm going to go beyond your ability to count." Come on, how many of you say, "It's scary, God, but I give you permission"? Come on, put your hand down and say, "It is scary, it is shaking, but I give you permission to take me beyond my ability to count." Then he said, "So will your reproductive ability be? You will begin to just go beyond what is reasonable. Your offspring. And this will be credited to you as righteousness. What is it? Coming into alignment with the right thinking of God. Actually, your brain, my brain, you're starting to think my ways. Righteousness. Realigning under the right standing of the presence of God. I felt God say this to me for you, precious Life Links churches and individuals. He said, think big or you'll limit me. Think big, say it with me. Think big or you'll limit me. Take the roof off. It's time to dream again. The school teacher in me is going to come out. I want you over this camp to write down 100 dreams. I mean 100. Why 100? Because it gives you room for all those crazy little ones to sneak in. Not just spiritual ones. God challenged me this last summer. I've always dreamt of going to Wimbledon on finals day. I don't know, I love tennis, and I wanted to go to Wimbledon. So because I'd already dreamed about church and getting people to say, I thought, 100, God, that's really big. So I snuck Wimbledon in there. I said, God, can I go to the finals of Wimbledon? It is impossible to get in there unless you belong to a tennis club, firstly. That's the only way you get tickets. You have to belong to a registered tennis club. And then you have to know someone in the tennis club who wants to give up a finals ticket for Wimbledon. The next Sunday, after writing this in the presence of God, I went to a church and I preached. And I happened to just say, I believe God wants to just expand your dreaming ability. And I mentioned this. Someone comes up to me and said, I've got 2 tickets. Do you want them? I was there. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, come on, begin to articulate. Define. Write it down. And he said, I want you to define body, soul, mind, spirit, being. I'm a big God. I want you to have outrageous fun. I want you to take the roof off all your religious things. Break that poverty spirit. Oh, well, it's just for missions. You know, I couldn't remember. You know, Jesus cares about the little and the large. And I had just been overwhelmed by the kindness of God. So come on. Go out dreaming. I still, to confess, haven't written all 100 because I'm not very good at it. I think I've got to about 72. I keep them on my iPad. You try. You see, what begins to happen as we get religious and stuff, our dream center goes down. How many of you would understand what I'm saying? And you see, I began to think, okay, I want to see my grandkids once a year. I began to suddenly think, now think bigger, Rachel. I did 20 easily, 40 more difficult, 60 struggles, 70 just about got there. I'm going to get. It's taken me a year to get to 100. Do you get what I'm saying? Come on, you young people. Please don't become like us. I seriously mean that. Don't become like us. Unshakable faith. So unshakable, what was the first one? Hope. Unshakable. Take the roof off. Unshakable faith. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, come on, get up. Your sins are forgiven. What is faith? Go back to the beginning. It is that ability to wrestle out of your ordinary into the extraordinary. It's the ability to see beyond what you see. It's the ability to call forth that which is not as if it were. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Faith is that belief system that really believes God can upgrade you. If your world doesn't have a risk factor in, you haven't got a faith factor. If your world does not have a risk factor, you haven't got a faith factor. What about your budget? So they're so nailed down that you've got no risk where God can just go. You see, the faith of friends would not let go. The faith of these friends said, it matters to me that you come to a house of hope and find Jesus. There was a lot of religious spirits there all saying, you shouldn't do that. Jesus says, blanket. Ignore it. Distraction. Irrelevant. Unhelpful. And then he looks to the issue and he says to the man, come on, don't worry about all that stuff. I tell you, get up, take your mat. And he got up and he walked out in full view of them all. Yay, Jesus. We don't have to explain it, we just have. Come on, LifeLinks, it's time for outstanding miracles. You see, what was the reaction to this? This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, come on, unshakable faith, I'm on, I've done the scripture, I'm on outstanding miracles. That's right, next one, scripture. There you go, sorry, I didn't look behind me. This amazed everyone, and they praise God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Everyone was amazed, gave praise to God, filled with awe. Whoa, we have seen remarkable things today. Are you ready? But it starts with the dreamer. Got to take the roof off. You see, we may not like the season of shaking, but it gives opportunity for remarkable things. And I just feel that Jesus wants to say, come on, I want to wake up the dreamer. Unshakable dreams. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Come on, I want you to read this over your life, over your family, over your church. Why don't you just stand with me as we just do this? I want you, remember, we're not pleading it, we're decreeing it. Now just read this. But the Lord's plans for me, the Lord's plans for me stand firm forever. His intentions can be. Come on, drink it in. Just say, God, I'm going to stand on that unshakable foundation. Everything else may be being shaken, but this is a foundation that cannot. Come on, find that ground. Then Acts 16:26. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to it, to it, to it. The doors and the chains. Come on. Come on. God would say to you, don't fight the earthquakes. Don't fight the earthquakes. Come, Ryan, help me. Music team, come. You see, some of us have been fighting the wrong things. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've been fighting the wrong things. But right now, in the presence of God, I want you to get those feet on your foundation. I want you to look up. Come outside that tent. Come outside everything that's downsized the dreamer in you. Look up and behold your God. For suddenly there was a massive earthquake. Maybe I'm part of that earthquake. Maybe you don't like girl preachers. I'm really sorry. I could go blue if you want me to. But I do believe that Jesus sent me here because he loves you. But right now, dear Anne, I've had this song. Ever since I landed in Canada and came here. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so good. Breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. So as Ryan, Jackie, I know you so well. Sing it. I want you to make a choice. What are you going to believe? All my life you have been faithful. Or is there another message going, God left me, it stinks, all I can see is the rubble? Come on, this is a time of decree. And we are going to stand on the ground of Canada, America, our homes, our families, our marriages, our children, our finances, our building. And we are going to break the curse and take the roof off and say there is an unshakable friend who never fails, never lets go. And we are going to open that heaven and get off the caterpillar mentality and find our wings. We're going to dream again. Think big again. Press it back again. Now the prophetic team, I know you're here. And we're going to agitate the prophetic dreaming. Just sing for me.